Food and travel. They go hand in hand. And chances are, if you're a fan of Heritage Radio Network, you love them both. Between April 10th and 24th, we have 6 incredible food and travel experiences up for auction at charitybuzz.com. Go on an underground food tour of New Orleans with a rocket scientist. Get your hands on VIP passes to Feast Portland, or enjoy a ranch-to-table experience in wine country. 4 of the experiences include hotel stays at some of the most iconic properties across the country, including the newly reopened Hotel Claremont in Atlanta. Now's your chance to win the ultimate bourbon and beyond weekend in Lexington, or take in a Latin food tour of New York's outer boroughs. You'll eat, drink, explore, and relax, all while supporting Heritage Radio Network. Help us keep the lights on and the mics hot. Go to heritageradionetwork.org/auction and bid now.
Hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio. You know, this is a very cool show. We are at Haven's Kitchen, which is a great restaurant and event space in Manhattan. And the launch of the much-anticipated The Beer Pantry by Adam Dulia with Michael Harlan Turkel, who's also a Heritage Radio Network host. I'm really honored to be here. I know that tonight there's going to be a Brewers Association press dinner, and we've got 3 of the chefs with us. We're going to talk about Adam's Beer Pantry book, as well as what these guys are doing with food and beer around the country. So, Adam, give us a little intro. You know, we know you as the chef behind Savor, the great food and beer pairing event. Tell us about how you got involved with cooking with beer, doing beer pairing events, and your role with the Brewers Association.
Yeah.
And cheers, guys.
Cheers.
And everybody get your voices on. Just jump in. Say your names.
Cheers. Gavin Fine. Loose Boots. Cheers.
What am I saying over here? Steven Rudzikowski.
Where are you from?
Boulder, Colorado.
All right, so we got 3 chefs in the room with me. So Adam, Jackson Hole, Colorado.
So yeah, I mean, for me, it started probably like, I used to say 10 years ago, but I've been saying 10 years ago for years, so we're going to go for more than 10. Working up in Vail, Colorado, and honestly, it's kind of funny, we're drinking this an Opry IPA now from Roadhouse, but really what it started as is...
It's good, man. Loose Boots. I like it.
We used to do all these events because you'd have, you know, you have to figure out how to get 1,000 people into, you know, moving through your patio for Opry Ski because everybody wants, you know, to do something other than skiing. And we're doing all these big red wine, Bordeaux and Burgundy events all the time because people would be coming up there. And eventually one day we got one of those lucky Colorado days in the winter where it actually felt like it was like 75 or 80 degrees with all the snow out there just because of how the sun was hitting. And we're outside cooking, we're getting all the stuff going, and there's probably, I don't know, 15, 16 wines going around, and finally we find one beer. And, you know, as it goes with when you have food and then you meet somebody who has beverage, you do a little trade. So that you can, you know, each person keeps the other one going. And that's honestly really what started it. And then from there, I met some of the folks at the Brewers Association, and they started to want to do some things. And I had 2 restaurants out in San Francisco at that time, so we started to do a couple things here. And then we added more. We added another thing. We added another component. And then it just kind of kept snowballing until probably about 2 years ago. We were sitting down, and they were like, yeah, so this is kind of like a department now. I was like, all right, it's pretty awesome that, you know, food is now a department at the Brewers Association.
And how many people work for the department?
It'd be 1 plus several people are part-time contracted, such as what we're doing here.
This is a great show because, you know, there's so much going on with craft beer in America. But, you know, I don't think that food was ever like a stepchild to it. But I want to hear more about what you guys are doing, because to me, food's number one. When I've owned my bars, I always want to have food, you know, with all my drinks. And there's a lot of things going on that you guys are doing. So let's just go around. So Steve, tell us a little about what you're doing at your place, you know, what you're going to be cooking tonight at the dinner, and then we'll go to Gavin, too.
Sure. So we have Oak at 14th, which is in Boulder. We call that the baby, the mothership.
been around for about 7 years now, on and off. We have a little history to that restaurant. Big fire. But we came back. Insurance came through, thank God. Yeah, always check for business interruption. Always say yes. And then from there, we opened up Acorn Restaurant and Brighter, which are both in Denver. And the main kind of thing with those restaurants, the first two were really wood-fired cooking. We really emphasize a lot of wood-fired cooking. We have a wood-fired grill and oven there, and it's just really fun to play around with. And then Brighter, which opened about 2 years ago, is more emphasis on rotisserie cooking. And yeah, it's just fun to be able to do food like that and do what you want to do kind of in an area that's not such a New York type area. It's a little more relaxing. You can kind of have fun and, yeah, it's nice to kind of
get out of
there.
And for the Brewers Association, the press dinner tonight, what are you serving?
So tonight, Adam kind of told me that we'd want to do something for the first course that's kind of crispy, has kind of maybe a fish component to it, a little bit kind of lighter. So we're doing a take kind of on an arancini. So it's a royal red shrimp that's been kind of diced up, folded into risotto with a lot of fennel, chili, lemon, tarragon, and then we're going to fry those and then serve it with kind of like a crudo tartare on top of hamachi.
Wow, that sounds really good. So, you know, bringing it back to your book, Adam, The Beer Pantry, you know, you've broken it down to these different sections like fruity and spicy, sour, tart, and funky, malty and sweet. I mean, are you sticking to those kind of as you guide the chefs for these dinners, or this is more like areas where you feel that, you know, this is way to cook?
A little bit. You know, with working with these guys, it's a little bit different because it's more about sending them notes and, you know, kind of knowing, learning their cooking styles and knowing where they can kind of go with things and saying, okay, you know, we've got this popping here and now we've got a whole menu flowing. So I'd say, like, you know, what we're doing with some of the stuff in the book and with these cards is on a very entry level, especially for people who are more used to drinking wine or spirits. And, you know, in the beer world, we alienate people with words like IPA, where people who don't drink beer don't know what that means. And so we're trying to bring them into understanding, you know, with words they do. So, okay, you don't know IPA, but you do know bitter. You don't know what necessarily a stout means, but do you like something that's dark and roasty? Do you like chocolate? Do you like coffee? And then people get more comfortable with it. With these guys and kind of how we do the menus for this is, you know, sometimes we'll be able to get the beers ahead of time and taste them. Sometimes we're working quick, and that was a kind of a case here where we didn't get the beers to the chefs, but, you know, we were able to get good notes from the brewers, and you can kind of break it down of like, okay, you know, like Steve's going with the Ninkasi's new Pacific Rain Pale Ale. He's got some good citrus hops in there, so going to pull some of that through.
Oh, that sounds good, yeah.
By using the orange in there. He's got the crispy texture with the fried risotto in there that's going to really pull the malt out of the beer. And then, you know, he's also first course, so he's like, he's waking everybody's palates up and getting everybody excited to eat more. And
it's funny, Steve, that you mentioned texture, because texture seems really important, especially in these kind of tasting dinners when you've got, like, multiple courses and you're trying to have it stand out.
Yeah, absolutely. You kind of want to hit all those elements, salty, sour, sweet, savory, and then texture too is a big part. Yeah.
And then Gavin, just, you know, give us a little bit about you. Yeah. I know you've been reaching out to us. Thank God we get to finally hang out with you because
Cheers.
You're a cool guy from out west.
Oh, thanks. Well, that's not true. Talk to these guys next to me.
Gavin Fine. You're from
Gavin Fine, yeah.
JH Fine Dining.
Yeah, Jackson Hole, Wyoming. So, you know, Adam's been nice enough to find us in Wyoming. You know, we're not that far from Boulder, but, you know, we got some restaurants and now also a brewery as well that we just launched, which we're drinking as well right now. So some Loose Boots IPA, which is a fun little...
Loose Boots, I call it Loose Bottoms. But
Loose Boots and Loose Bottoms, yeah. I mean, honestly, beer and is a big part of our culture with skiing, as Adam was referring to. And so this beer came about from, you know, all you want to do is after a long day of skiing, you want to loosen up your boots, whether it's your ski boots or your snowboard boots, and kick back and have a beer, and whether it's sunny or snowing. And you got to be able to crush it. So, you know, this is only 5% right here. So, you know, some Simcoe and Citra. So it's meant to kind of sit on the deck like Adam was talking about there.
Yeah, this is like, it's about 11:30 on a Thursday, and this is a good start of beer.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. We just had coffee, and now beer. Yeah, I know.
And tell us what you're cooking tonight.
So I'm fired up about the beer. I didn't have the beer. So I got an awesome. Sorry. Oh, we can try it? Sweet. Because I got to change something up tonight if it's, like, not on. So Society.
Adam's getting up here at Haven's Kitchen. He's got all the beers on ice up front.
Okay. Yeah, he could have sent it to us, but, you know. He's out. I'm making a goose confit. So he asked when we all just picked a course. He just sent an email and basically said, hey, who wants what course? And Steve's waking us up, and Adam's going to be the finisher here. He's the sweet man at the end. So I was like, yeah, sure, I'll take. He wanted us to do some sort of game or foul. So at first I was going to do a little duck confit. This beer, which, you know, was calling. It's got some. It's aged in Grenache barrels, I think, is what the thief here.
Which beer is this?
This is Society from San Diego. This is one of their feral series called The Thief.
It's exciting.
So it's with Grenache Blanc grapes.
He's in the beer business now, not the wine business anymore.
All right, man.
Sweet.
And then you guys are, you know, what's cool already about this dinner, the way, I'm always interested, and a lot of listeners are, in how, you know, you put together a beer or a wine pairing dinner. You know, Steve first said, you know, he's got crispy, which is texture, and you're doing goose confit, which I guess is fat. So, you know, how do you compose a beer dinner? And I think that's something we can get. I would say right now, if you're going to go out and buy the beer pantry, you want to open a restaurant, you could probably take some of those recipes and create a great menu. You could probably put together a really great beer pairing dinner just from this book alone. It's probably the only book that you need, man. But so what's your philosophy? Because talking to the mic, sorry.
Yeah, you know, Adam, you know, thanks for writing an awesome beer and food book. You know, honestly, you know, no offense to the brewers, we were talking last night. Adam's like, yeah, you can't always take the notes on what they say to cook with the beer all the time. So, you know, now we got Adam. So, you know, which is our guide. He's our guiding light here in the sort of beer and food world. And he's everybody's guiding light at this point, which is awesome. You know, we bow to the golden god.
And then, Steve, I'm just going to bounce around trying to get everybody's voice. Steve's looking at the book. It's a beautiful book, The Beer Pantry. What are some recipes that jump out at you?
As soon as I was looking in there, I saw the arancini in there, and I was like, oh, man. Adam's like, you just stole it right out of my book. Yeah, I think the thing that's nice.
So, Adam, you're not crediting that you stole the recipes from all these guys?
I think I stole it from him. The book was out before the event. But the nice thing is, depending on, like, we did a dinner, I think it was about a month ago, and it's nice because Adam had said, hey, you guys come up with a dish, and then I'll pair the beer with it. This one, he gave us the beer, and then we paired the dish with it. So it's nice to kind of go back and forth. And we did, I think we did the, it was a passion fruit, and kind of like a passion fruit dessert, and with pineapple, and he paired it with, what was that pineapple beer he used?
That was the pineapple mono wheat from Maui out in Hawaii.
And that, when we ate that together, because the brewer came up and he said, wow, that worked out really nice. And you know, we were just like, yeah, I'm sure it did. And then when we actually tasted it, it was pretty spot on. It was, and I'd never really had a beer pairing like that with a dessert. So that kind of blew my mind a little bit. So, yeah.
And then more about how you construct these menus. I mean, Steve has crispy, yeah. And Gavin has a confit, which is fat. You guys can both talk about that. You know, pairing with goose confit, that type of fatty dish.
Well, I made like an apple butter tonight as well, to kind of thinking about that, and then going to add some pomegranates, because pomegranates and Grenache. I mean, I used to do wine dinners. That was like before I got into the beer world.
I think
world.
That was all of our bread and butter before beer kind of
wine
came
dinners
around.
was the world. And so you're just looking for quick notes that are coming out. You know, obviously, if you have the food first or the beer or wine first, you're looking for a couple notes that are coming, and then you're always looking for balance in life, which none of us really have. It's sort of an existential thing. But, you know, you're always looking for balance in life, and now you're looking for balance in food and drink and what's counteracting. We're actually putting a little fat with this tonight when I think it's good because, you know, now I'm excited. Actually, Adam made the right call, so he was on.
Yeah, and, you know, doing a dinner like this, you know, really what's fun about this one is, you know, we've got four chefs from all different parts of the country. We've got four brewers from all different parts of the country. And it's just kind of fun to bring everybody together and do this, you know, and get the brewers in the room, get the chefs in the room. You know, certainly there's different levels of dinners that happen, whether they're wine, spirits, beer, you know, whatever, where it could be just somebody designing one in their home or at a restaurant, or, you know, you go out and you want to do one and you have the sommelier at the restaurant kind of kick one around for you. But, you know, for this, and when we kind of get playing around here, it's really, you know, like kind of what Steve said, like, it's like it goes one of two ways, but the freedom has to be there. It's like, okay, here's the beer you're working with, boom, go. Here's the dish you're working with, go find a beer. But you can't really restrict it within that. You still have to let somebody have their freedom of creativity in there. You can't say, oh, it needs to be cooked exactly like this or cooked like that. And you don't want to limit somebody either. You know, a lot of times when we do tastings, whether it's beer, wine, or anything like that, you know, people get locked in. So, like, if we were all sitting here tasting this and I said, oh, I'm tasting the Thief right now, and I'm really getting a lot of, like, lemon zest, but you weren't getting it, but you started thinking it, then you're going to convince yourself that it's there. And so it's hard to, you know, tell somebody words like that and then them not do a dish with it. Whereas, like, what I said to Steve and same thing I said to Gavin, and then who's missing and somewhere on the road between Washington, D.C. and New York right now with a bunch of Rotolo in his car is Mike Friedman from the Red Hen in D.C. And he might be hitchhiking.
Hitchhiking.
Yeah. Yeah. But
one thing just to jump in, you know, talking about beer dinners, I've been to a lot of bad ones, and I feel like sometimes whether it's at a beer bar or even a brewery, they think they're serving something. That's why I love your book. I really think that everyone, if you're running a beer bar or a brewery and you're trying to do beer dinners, look at this book, and if you don't know what to do, just make those recipes, because too often beer bars and breweries just don't make good food, and people for a long time thought, I'll do pulled pork. The last thing I want at a place that isn't known for pulled pork is a damn pulled pork when I'm getting. So I think it's not even just knowing what to pair, because I think a lot of people don't even have a sense of how to pair. It's also that usually the food's not good, and I feel like if the food's good, then it's easy to pair. So, like, let's go through your guys' experiences, each one of you. Tell us if it's a really great, you know, beer and food pairing experience you either cooked at or been to that other people can say, wow, I should have been there, or that's what I should aspire to. You know, I went to Savor when it was in New York a few years ago, and that was really great. I mean, the work you did bringing together so many different, you know, foods and brewers was crazy. But still, I mean, like, you know, for me, my example is, oh, Garrett Oliver, Brewmaster's Table many years ago. He said, classic pairing, barley wine and Stilton cheese. And I say that all the time because it actually works when those two come together. It tastes better in your mouth. So if you guys each think of either a food and beer pairing or a dinner that you guys have worked at that we can teach other people about. Gavin's ready. He's always ready. I love this guy.
Well, I don't know.
Woke up when skiing, like, today, made it into New York.
No, I didn't make it. It was last night I got in. Yeah, actually, a couple nights ago, I had a sausage. It's not a fancy story, but it's a good story. So I had some sausage in my fridge. I got home late and I needed a snack, and I had some. And I put a sausage in. I was going to eat some sauerkraut and sausage to keep my slender figure and not a lot of carbs. And so I threw a sausage in. It was a jalapeno cheddar sausage, and I had some good Dijon mustard and sauerkraut out, and I was just going to chow that and have a beer and go to sleep. And put the sausage in, sliced it up, had a bite, had some IPA. It was like I won't mention what IPA, what it was, but it was,
you can,
it was
if you
good.
Want.
No, it was good. It was ours, but it was, you know,
he doesn't,
but,
shameless
Wilson,
promotion.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying is I sliced up the sausage. I had a sip, and I actually think, like Adam was saying, if you tell people IPA and, you know, they say, like, you know, Thai food or spicy food and IPA, I think that's bullshit. Oh, excuse me. I think it's not right. And like, just because you said it.
There's no censors.
Sorry.
There's no censors.
Sorry. I'm in trouble. And I just think that, you know, then all of a sudden there was some cheese in there, and I was like, actually, the fattiness from the cheese mellowed out the bitterness from the hops, and I would just, like, had a moment, and I added a little mustard and sauerkraut, changed the flavor. And just a couple nights ago in my kitchen, I was like, all right, that little cheese in the sausage, but it was spicy. My feeling was, like, a little bit of fat content with some IPA and some spice is actually better now. So that was my aha moment about 36, 48 hours ago.
What about you, Steve?
For me, this was years ago, because everybody growing up was just like wine. And then I started, when I got to Colorado, I started kind of learning a little bit about beers. And we did this show called Beer Geeks one time. It was with Adam Avery from Avery Brewing. And we did a short rib dish, and he brought, I believe it was a brown, ale and a porter with him. And we kind of drank those with the short ribs off the grill. They were kind of like Korean style, like just really thinly sliced, and we did them off the wood-fired grill. And to me, I was like, wow, this is nuts, because it had always been, you know, my background was, you know, you drink wine with everything, and this kind of changed that whole thing up for me. But like I was saying before, the pairing, though, that still kind of knocks my socks off was the one we just did last month, where he picked that pineapple beer to go with the dessert, and I just never thought you could get a dessert really to match with a wine, because it was a sherbet with it, and then, you know, there was white chocolate in there and a bunch of different flavors that, you know, I was like, I don't know how we're, you know, he had the hard part. I said he had to do the pairing, and he hit it spot on, and that to me has been the best pairing I think I've had ever, you know, wine, beer, anything. That was pretty much on the money. I was pretty shocked with that.
That sounds great. You want to tell us how you got to that one, or?
Yeah,
it's also just experimenting, sure, too, right? You've tasted different beers. You've mixed in.
Well, I think
different
even in
seasonings.
Going into that, because these guys are both super humble in what they do. So, and maybe that's why I sat on this side of the table, so they can't reach and punch me. But you know, I think one of the things that's also worth mentioning about these guys, as well as Mike, who's coming up down in D.C., who we can talk about, you know, ad nauseum, because he's not here to defend himself.
That would be fun.
But all of these guys have solid programs on all four fronts, from food to wine to spirits to beer. And when you go into their establishments, the staff there don't talk to you necessarily about something specific. They more get the phrases you like. And I think you can go into any of these guys' restaurants and sit down, and somebody could come up to you and say, oh, what are you feeling like today? And you're like, oh, you know, I'm not sure, but okay, let's say it's nice out, not like the kind of brisk day we're having here. And they say, oh, you know, somebody could say, oh, well, any of the staff at any of these guys' restaurant would be like, oh, well, do you feel like something that's, you know, crisp, you know, refreshing, a little bit of minerality, slight bit of effervescence? And you're like, ooh, you get excited. The catch there is, and what's amazing about it is, you don't know if they're talking about a beer, a wine, or a cocktail. And now they have you in your hand, and then they create all these awesome experiences. And that's kind of the cool thing to see of eating at any of these restaurants, where people are brought in and they put their trust into the restaurant operator and the staff that's there at the restaurant to take them on this experience and to try things that, to be honest, they most, on a normal time, they wouldn't try.
I mean, do you feel now that people want something like a beer pairing dinner more than ever? Because I feel like everybody wants an experience. I mean, talking about experiences, they don't want to go in and say, should I try this or that? I mean, I feel like there's a rise in, you know, set menus and things like that. I mean, what do you think about that?
If it's like fun and not stuffy, I mean, I think that's what's cool about the beer industry, as opposed to, like, we all obviously started in the wine and food pairing dinners. And, like, honestly, that's what I love about the beer world now, and eating and drinking, because, you know, those events are meant to be just a gathering around the table, not dissecting every little thing, not telling you it's like lemon or pine or et cetera, and it has to be this. And, like, you're just there for the experience. And you could be hanging out at a ball game and drinking a beer and eating a hot dog, you know, or you could be in a really fancy place and, you know, having a prepared dish that's like really to the T. But there's something about sitting around a table at a beer dinner that just seems convivial and like just like really, really, you know, and that's what it's meant to be. You know, like, we're meant to sit around and eat and drink together, whatever it is. And so I think that's what I love about beer dinner. So I love the fact when they're cool, if they're so dissected. I hope tonight we have a good time and not everybody's just like kind of, you know,
heck yeah.
Yeah, I think in Colorado, when we do beer dinners, we definitely have a good amount of success with them, because we, you know, in Colorado, you definitely have the brewers that are right there. I mean, Colorado grows some grapes, but they're really not known for that. They're really known for their beer. So when we do beer dinners, they can actually sit there and actually see the brewer. And then if they like what they have, they can actually go to the brewery and visit. And we have a number of breweries in Colorado that, yeah, really thrive off of that kind of atmosphere.
So let's go back to the book. You know, the recipes look really great. To me, I said, what I like about this, it's a cookbook, first, and I feel like I would give it to a friend as a cookbook. The photos are beautiful. I almost don't even think of it as a beer book. I want the chefs to pick out a dish that really jumps out at them, and just tell us how you put this together. I want it's your book. It's your chance.
Carrot cake.
What's he pair with carrot cake?
Wait, say it again. What'd you pick?
Carrot cake. We give him a hard one.
Yeah, what are we pairing with that?
You know, the thing here is, this goes IPA here, but the book was written as you said, it was written as a recipe book first, and then the beer came second, because that's what I felt was missing in the world was something where even if you don't like beer, there's still good recipes in here you can go and cook, and then hey, you know what? You've got to get every time you learn something new, whether it's a beer, a wine, or a cocktail, you have to have something familiar. So if carrot cakes you're familiar, make the carrot cake and then try something different as your beverage with it. And then you'll start to appreciate more things. Because if you put somebody, I think we can all agree as chefs and cooks, if you put somebody in a scenario where everything is new to them, everything on the plate, everything in the glass is new to them, they're not going to have an anchor to hold on to, and they're ultimately probably not going to like the experience because they don't know what they're supposed to think about it.
And then, Gavin, you pick a dish now.
The Long Island boy just picked out some meatballs here, I think so.
Yeah, I was flipping through, and I was like, oh, meatballs.
I can see the Long Island guy just picked out some meatballs here.
And not with red wine either. What are you doing with that one?
Hoppy
bitter?
Yeah,
see, so it's a little different. Yeah. Because normally you would think just red wine with meatballs, but,
What's the recipe with the meatballs, Adam?
I'm gonna have to lean over. I gotta read it. Wow. it's actually going more towards a play on using some malt and hops to cut the tomato and also the fat in the meatballs, and it is a little bit of a richer meatball recipe, and it does also have a little bit of bitter in it with some broccoli rabe as kind of a side dish, optional vegetable garnish, I guess we'd call that.
That's great. I want to say they're ribbing on Michael Harlan Trickell because I know him for years he was a photographer for Edible Brooklyn. He was a photographer for many cookbooks, and now he's on as a co-author, and he just wrote a great book about acids and vinegars that won a big ICP award. But you guys are part of a great team. So the meatballs jumped out to Steve. I look at this book too, and I'm just very, very proud of you that you did this. So, Brewers Association, Savor, this dinner tonight means a lot. You guys have like Ken Grossman out here, and you've got the Julia Hertz, who to me is like the number one educator of beer in America. What's the audience that's here? It's a very tight group. I feel lucky to be included. I think I had to sneak my way into this dinner.
There was no sneaking. No sneaking. The audience that's coming into it is a mix of media from kind of the upper northeast side. Really what the goal is to get everybody in the room between you've got the brewers, you've got the chefs, you've got the media, and it's just to have throw it all on the table, honest conversation about what's happening in the world of people who are operating small and independent craft breweries, small and independent restaurants, and what they're doing, where they're blazing things. I mean, you look at what's happened in the last 10 years. Not only has craft beer become more defined and the small and independent brewer become more defined, but I personally believe in the last 10 years, we've actually really become to define American cuisine as well. And people around the world are starting to take notice of that.
Gavin, you just got up to look in the kitchen. Do you have something cooking back there?
I thought I maybe didn't take the forbidden rice to the side, so I was just double checking maybe it was the couple sips of beer I had while I was sitting here.
But you guys, you got
to
start.
I push it to the side.
You guys have hard days. You started at what time you're here? 11, 10 o'clock, and dinner's not till 7 o'clock tonight.
Adam was here at 6:30, a.m., 6:30 a.m., So Steve and I just rolled in.
I woke up a half hour ago.
Yeah. We're only using two mics, so if you don't hear anything, it's not my fault. So usually we're in a fancy studio, but we came to the source today. And some of the brews you guys have, it's pretty great. So I want to go through these beers again. So, Gavin, you're also part of what is the Roadhouse Brewery? So it's brewing and a restaurant?
Yep.
Yeah. And tell us again, the full name of the brewery is Roadhouse. We're drinking Loose
Roadhouse Boots. Brewing Company. Yeah, this is Loose Boots Opry Ski IPA. And Adam's kind enough to let us pour that during a little cocktail.
And then Adam brought in Society, the Thief.
Yeah, and then, you know, in addition to that, you know, with Ken Grossman being in the room tonight, we can kind of we automatically have to have some Sierra Nevada Pale Ale for people to sip on, because there's something special about drinking a Sierra Nevada Pale Ale right out of the bottle and then looking at Ken. And then from Ninkasi, Jamie Floyd brought his new Pale Ale Pacific Rain. And then from down out of the D.C. area, Julie Verratti from Denizens Brewing Company brought a triple up, and we're going to use that for the dessert tonight. It's third-party triple from Denizens in Silver Spring, Maryland. And so just an awesome room of brewers from across the country that are going to be able to just share their stories and their comments. And then you add that into the food, you add that into the room where basically it's no holds barred, no questions unasked, whatever you want, all on the record, go. And I think, you know, over the course of the couple of years that we've been doing these dinners, they become that convivial, fun environment, because they're really, you can say anything you want and ask anything you want, and maybe somebody will answer and maybe they won't.
So Gavin can really say whatever he wants?
No, Adam's already warned us, by the way. He did send out an email and warn us.
I did.
To keep our mouths, be careful. And now I messed up already at 11:30. Yeah. So he said keep your...
There is that. There, you know, you have to say that. Like, you know, I mean, that's part of what makes this dinner the fun part, is saying once 6:30 starts, every single thing said is fair game on the record.
He's in trouble.
6:30 a.m. or p.m.?
Let's make a toast, guys. This is fun. You know, I'm looking at your book. You didn't pick a dish yet, Gavin. You got to pick a dish from this book because we're trying to promote it a little bit.
Okay, yeah.
It is a beautiful book. The process of books is very mysterious, but I know that you have Josh Bernstein, who's really been one of the new top beer writers. He's got the little introduction.
Yeah.
Who puts together a book like this? I mean, you're working with Michael. Is it start with an editor? Was it the Brewers Association pushing it?
This was really Michael and I starting it. When Michael and I met at the end of an evening of many drinks that concluded with many Fernets and probably things after that, we were like, yeah, we should do a book. And, you know, that's like that thing that happens so often in our industry. We can all relate to either saying we should open a restaurant, or we should do a book, or, hey, we should, you know, that whole whatever comes after that sentence. And so we both left and we were kind of like, eh. And then eventually we were talking. He's like, no, let's start writing our proposal. So we wrote a proposal. It kind of went out there on first round. It kind of died a little bit. And then we breathed a little bit of new life into it and brought it to what it is now, where it was recipe forward first. And Dovetail Press here in New York and W&P Design got super excited about it. You know, in addition to this book coming soon, we've also got a fancy new bottle opener that's kind of a nice little toy to go along with the book, too.
Great. I look forward to getting one of those. Yeah. So this recipe here, grilled clams with spicy corn
and
garlic aioli. And then what's the pairing with that?
So that, you know, that pairing is going to a Pilsner and, you know, or a Kolsch or, you know, something that's just going to have that huge carbonation, can play off the salinity of the clams. You know, that was definitely something I wanted to get in there, because I think, you know, especially being, you know, clams are, I think, a great entry level into shellfish for a lot of people who, you know, may have had an experience where they don't necessarily like mussels, or, you know, it's kind of hard to do a recipe with oysters on the half shell and take credit for it, because you open an oyster and you're kind of done. You know, doing something with clams was kind of fun. The salinity that's in them and, you know, just the fact that it's a nice, clean pairing was a lot of fun there.
Well, I flipped in the book to pork shoulder pastrami, and Steve started pointing at it. What do you like about that, Steve? I mean, that sounds like a typical kind of, you know, beer dinner item.
Pastrami. Who doesn't like pastrami?
I love pastrami.
Yeah. The nice thing, too, is I'm seeing the book for the first time, and it has a pairing strategy with it. Because for me, I like to drink beer, but I'll admit I don't know a ton about it. So it's nice to kind of know, you know, what the thought process was behind it. Because then, you know, I don't look like such a putz when I'm, you know, trying to pair something.
I'll tell you, you could do a whole dinner, multiple series of dinners based on this.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I think you can, and that's kind of the goal is for people to start seeing, you know, that's something that, you know, one, going back to what these guys do every day in their restaurants, and also just bringing it out there of changing people's mind about what food they can have a beer with, you know, and that there is a wide variety out there and you can do it. And honestly, same thing as well. Gone is the day where staff at a well-run restaurant will look at you funny or challenge your order if you say you want to have a beer with something. I think that happened for a while, and it's gone now. Now, again, it goes back to that experience and having people create an experience.
Wow, and a lot of this looks like East Coast stuff. There's a lot of seafood. This is what's this dish, Gavin? You've got the book sure. in front of you.
Bass. Yeah, a little white sea bass with asparagus and preserved lemon. You know, asparagus is like, you know, in my wine days, asparagus is just like a no-no to pair with wine. You know, you sort of stay away. So, you know, like I actually was just thinking what Steve said. I mean, I love the fact of that the way this is written, your strategy. Actually, he wrote the same thing here. Yeah. Asparagus is a notoriously difficult vegetable to pair drinks with, but beer works handily. Fruity and spicy beers play nicely with lemons. Recommended beers. He's kind of got some farmhouse ales, and I just love it. Nice job. And I also think that's exactly what is going on. I mean, I have multiple restaurants of multiple different cuisines, and, you know, all of our programs are exactly what, you know, it's, first of all, it's about the experience. Second of all, I think the reason is people are making really darn good beer now, and that's also what's changed. And that's the difference is what's like that's happened. It's kind of like the wine thing back in the 90s, essentially, when, you know, there was only a couple and then everybody started to make really good wine. And so it was really easy not to spend a ton of money on wine, have a good experience and have like that. And I think that people are making really, really fun beers, and they're realizing now that actually you can't make a beer to always just drink that's there, that they got to figure out a way that to have it pair with food. And I think that's just awesome for our culture here in right now, which has probably been, you know, it's going on in Europe and other places for a long time.
You know, and let's talk about your place. So, like, one, there must be like a signature dish or a dish that people say I have to die for. Or is there a dish that is really extreme and it's only there because you like it? And you might have trouble pairing with it. I mean, there's got to be one dish that you can tell me about.
No, you always
from your place.
Can't. There really isn't. I'm sorry, Jimmy, but I don't know. Like,
you just got balance in all things.
You know, we've got multiple different restaurants, so like multiple different dishes. This dish tonight that we're making is a mix and match from a couple different things. Like, I've taken a sort of forbidden rice, which is on a bass dish from one of our restaurants, and I was telling Adam today, usually sort of finished with sake and stuff. We're going to finish it with a little bit of beer. And then the goose confit comes from, you know, another restaurant, which is a French bistro restaurant. So I've sort of melded a couple dishes like tonight. I mean, the goose confit, I mean, I love fat, so most things fat I really like. That's why I pick some. And I also think with something like tonight, again, like that big dish doesn't have to be so big tonight. And people will be like, you're having beer and goose confit, and I hope that, you know, I hope we balance it out tonight.
And then like coordinating a dinner like this, I mean, you've done with Savor all over the country, but like these guys are coming from different states, showing up day of or the day before. Are they bringing like some secret ingredients with them, or are you ordering these ingredients in ahead and they have to have prep time? How does it work?
I mean, honestly, we should put on the menu, you know, this dinner possible in part due to no one getting confiscated by the TSA. No, I mean, you know, it's
that's all right, man. It's a fun event.
It is a lot of fun. But again, you know, these guys can speak to it. But majority of us prep some stuff, bring it out with us, and then finish out on the day of.
Great, and you know, just in terms of like these experiences, I've noticed. Have you guys met Jensen Cummings? He's operating out of Colorado. I was lucky to be part of his tour in 2016. Saw what he was doing, like, you know, the fermented ingredients, like a really extreme triple kimchi with beer pairings. You want to say anything about him? Because I think he's doing cool stuff, and or anyone else that you admire for what they're doing with beer and food?
That's a loaded question. Yeah, I mean, definitely what Jensen's doing, but really, I think for me, the list is too long to name of people we've started to meet that are part of what we do with Paired at the Great American Beer Festival now, what we do at Savor, where There's just so many people that are bringing really well-made quality beers into their beverage programs, and having them there because they want to provide the experience for all their guests to walk in, and that's increasing every year. You know, and it used to be you saw it in the common brewery heavy states of Oregon, California, Colorado, but now it's really spreading all over. You know, we've got what Mike. We should talk more about Mike Friedman since he's not here. But we got Mike down in D.C. doing what he's doing. You know, we've got Gavin's in Jackson Hole. Steve's got stuff in Colorado. There's several other chefs in Colorado that are doing that as well. You know, Kevin Nashan's another guy in St. Louis who's got a couple restaurants who's just crushing things out right in the backyard of, you know, Budweiser country. And, you know, you've got,
Urban Chestnut Country.
Urban, that as love well. Love that beer. Yeah, Urban Chestnut. Yeah, absolutely.
And Steve, tell us one, a dish that you have on your menu at one of your places that stands out, that you'd go is a go-to dish for pairings or wherever you want to feature.
We always have, I say you get back to the basics with a lot of our food, and I'd say our roast chicken that we do is... it'll always be on the menu. We change up the set with it time to time, depending on the season, but it's always a staple on the menu. And people come in and they want something that's a little more safe. We play around with a couple other things, but you want to give them some options that they don't feel intimidated by. And
I love
that,
chicken.
You know,
I mean, I'm eating more chicken than ever in New York. You got Momofuku's Fuku, fried chicken sandwiches. How do you serve the roast chicken?
Well, we start out on the wood grill and then we finish it in the wood oven. And it's just that skin gets super, super crispy. And then we just deglaze it with a chicken stock that we make from the bones and a little bit of butter, and it makes a nice glaze over the top. It's like those simple things is what I really kind of gets me going. Cause it's hard to find anyone that sits at our chef's counter. They'll say, "Hey, what entree should I get tonight?" And I'm like, "I'd get the chicken, honestly." And they're like, "Yeah, sure. I'll have the short rib." And I'm like, "Okay, great." Or they'll say, "Yeah, sure. I'll have, you know, the crab." And I'm like, "Yep, great. Okay." So my suggestions don't always go to them. But once they get it, I think we always get great feedback on it. So
I got the chicken when I went to your place.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice.
Awesome. Well, this is pretty cool. Getting to talk about, to me, what I think is the most important part of hospitality, the food. And plus we get to drink a couple great beers. Thanks so much for, organizing this interview, Adam. And, your book one more time. Just tell us quickly about your book, and everyone's going to say the names of their places.
Yeah, the Beer Pantry. Really what it is it's cooking for beer, not with beer, is kind of the line we've gotten with it. We got a website up with it for thebeerpantry.com. And, book just went live on Tuesday, March 13th was the published date. So it's out there through Amazon, and it'll be coming across, you know, a lot of places along there. There's a special signing later.
You got one right now. Steve, tell us your full name, place that you work and own, and you guys are going to sign this book for me.
Sign it? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can't sign it first. That's bad. Yeah, that's bad to sign it.
You guys sign it tonight at the dinner. I'm going to get everybody to sign it for me. He's got a nice book. He's got a nice pen, too.
He's got the Sharpie ready.
Yeah. So, Steve.
I don't have a Sharpie in the kitchen. Oh, come on.
I'm in the dining room.
I can't even keep up with these guys.
Johnny.
Steve, your place. Colorado, what's your full name and the place you run and all that stuff?
So there's Oak at 14th in Boulder, Colorado, Acorn in Denver, and Brighter in Denver.
Great. And then Gavin, one more, give us all your credits.
Gavin's Fine, Jackson Hole, Wyoming. We got a restaurant called Rendezvous Bistro, Roadhouse Brewing Company, and Roadhouse Pub and Eatery next to each other, The Kitchen, Bin 22, Osteria, Enoteca. And,
you really got all those many places?
Yes, sir.
He's still going.
Wow. I'm still going, but yeah, it's all right.
Let's finish this. So for you coming to New York, I mean, I know you were at New York maybe for the James Beard dinner.
Yes, sir.
Not too long ago.
Yep.
What's the philosophy? I mean, people are traveling to Wyoming. You're trying to build a brand.
Totally, yeah. I mean, I think Jackson, we're not as lucky as Boulder and Denver but New York now has direct – New York has direct flights into Jackson Hole from Newark and JFK.
Get everybody to sign it.
That's your book, man. He's offended.
Adam's offended
that
he's sharing
Steve
with the
and
chefs
I are going to sign it. He's not.
I don't know.
He does not want us to sign it.
Not with a Sharpie. You gotta. You can't use a Sharpie. Only the author.
He's a book. So I'm gonna sign.
These guys, they can't keep up with these guys.
I'm gonna sign Friedman's name. So I'm gonna. Yeah, no. Jackson is. You know, hopefully, you know, coming on the map as a destination, not just as a ski resort. Obviously, it's the Grand Tetons and it's a gateway to Tetons and Yellowstone. So in the summertime, it's a huge, huge destination.
And then places in New York. So you're here in New York for a couple of days. Places you're seeking out, or you're just going to go hang out and get a sausage somewhere?
You know, I got in last night and late and dropped my stuff off and had a beer with these guys and came here this morning, and I got a 6 a.m. flight tomorrow. But Steve's got us hooked up here. We're going to try to go out to dinner and try to hit a couple places before, you know, before they close down after our dinner
tonight. Where are you guys going tonight, Steve?
We're going to try to sneak into Uncle Boone's. That's my kind of go-to, but I don't know. That could get a little tricky, but we have Momofuku-san Rezo at 10:30 reserved, so we'll see. We'll see what these guys feel like after plating.
And anywhere on your list, Adam, that the places you got to go when you're coming to New York City?
You know, on this trip, because I've been in for a little bit longer, I was able to go hit up and say hi to Jared Sipple over to Talyan, and then I grabbed a spot at the bar at Hearth, which is just a solid restaurant that's been in the city for a long time. And then, you know,
that's my go-to. Hearth, sitting at the bar at Hearth on 12th Street, East Village.
Yeah,
Chef Marco Canora.
Just such an amazing place. And, you know, I think, you know, after that, you know, we're going to try and get some food in tonight. And then there's probably some pizza in after the food tonight. And then, yeah, we all jump on a plane tomorrow.
All right. Well, guys, thanks for taking the time. I know you're doing prep. It's early and we started drinking beer. But thanks for joining me on the Heritage Radio Network. David's going to clean this up for us. And we'll catch you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. Woo.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.